Hey, good evening. Hey, good evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm running a little bit behind, had some technical difficulties, and but we'll be getting online here in just a minute. I have a couple very significant guests that I'd like to mention to you, and Brother Legacy, if you're out there, just hold on. I'll get right with you. Don't go away. And what I'm going to say is welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends tonight, featuring Legacy for Life, an entrepreneur who is a military veteran, has a college BS degree in business, has been employed in the private sector, former union representative, former government employee, and now is involved in making his internet time profitable. And with that said, and also we'll have another guest coming on right after Brother Legacy. But just give me a second here to get situated. I couldn't get going today real well for some reason. I have no idea what the reason is. Okay. Everything's loading slow for me. I think it's the computer. Let's see here. There we go. All right, Brother Legacy, hold on just a second, and I'll get you the number, and if you'll give me a call, we'll be kicking it off here in a second. There we go. All right, the number to call, please, Brother Legacy, is 347-945-7040. Chat room is open. And let's see, we have a call here. I'm not sure where this call is from. Hello? 111 area code?
Yeah, Brother Ice, it's me, Legacy.
Hey, how you doing, bro? I'm glad you're on. I was trying to get to you, and I had some problems getting started today. How's everything going your way?
Oh, man, yeah, my number came up unlisted, that's what it was. I forgot my number's not listed.
Okay. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. But anyway, yeah, if you also...
Let me turn down this recording.
No problem.
I got you talking in the background, I'll get some feedback. Yeah,
you're right, I understand.
Yeah, I know you knew what it was, I got this call, and I said, you don't even know it's me.
You know, I tell you, it's been a rough day so far. I was just talking with Lady Lily a little earlier. You know, the author that you and I had talked about,
right?
And she's going to be the second guest. She decided she wanted to come on after you had already gone on and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll go ahead and we'll do our thing here for about 45 minutes if that's okay with you. And we'll get to some issues and we'll try to keep it moving. But did you hear what I was saying with your intro?
Yeah, I saw that.
Was that fairly accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate.
I said you were an entrepreneur,
right?
And military vet.
Mhm.
And a college degree in business. Is that close?
Right. I read all that.
And you worked in the private sector.
Right.
And also a former union rep, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah, 13 years.
And former government employee, am I right?
That's correct.
You know, and I've been knowing you. How long have we been knowing each other? So we met on that chat site in your room, as a matter of fact. And the reason that I found your room was because I'm always interested in some intellectual communication, and your room always seemed to provide that, you know, and I'm sure that a lot of, most of the listeners are familiar with how chat rooms work and everything.
Right,
and
that was the Black Agenda room that I had over on that particular site.
And, you know, a lot of people have problems. You know, I've heard different guys talk about when they hear the term black, you know, in reference to anything, like, you know, whenever you know, they talked about Reverend Wright with his black national theology thing.
Right.
People don't understand that it's assumed whenever if you hear the Chamber of Commerce, years past, they didn't have to say the white Chamber of Commerce. It was assumed that that was not an inclusive group. And
correct.
So what we started having to do was make certain designations, NAACP, National Association of Colored People, and so forth. And so I was just making talking about your room, the Black Agenda, and there was nothing offensive about it. We just looked at things from a different perspective in there.
Well, we have to, because we're not going to get the true story with mainstream media. They refuse to tell our story, and when they do tell it, they tend to twist and turn it.
Right, put a little spin on it.
Right, well, it's always spin when it comes to us, you know what I mean?
Right.
They never come out and they never talk about some of the CEOs and what, especially how Black young people are doing across America.
It's right.
Negative, you know, they want, you know, when the guy came out on American Idol with your pants on the ground, they love that. Love that. That just played. That played big on national media.
Right. Right.
So.
Well,
go
ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So that's the type of negativity that we're always facing. You know, it's really amazing what they've done to the Black community. You know, they put drugs in the Black community, and at the same time they were building prisons to put the same people in prison. When we know that it was politicians who brought drugs to America. Ronald Reagan, Oliver North, and those guys doing the Iran-Contra deal.
Right.
Right, you know, and there's a brother out in California now doing a life sentence out there that...
What is his name? Side something? Freeway Ricky?
Yeah, Freeway Ricky Ross. He's been in penitentiary for a long time. They've been, what's your name? Maxine Waters has been trying to get his case heard to get him out of the penitentiary because he was set up.
Right.
You know, and then once Black folks saw that they could sell it,
right,
and started making money and accumulating things, wealth such as Bentleys and stuff like that, is, well, we got to put a halt to this. We didn't,
intend, right.
You know, they didn't intend for that to happen, but that's exactly what happened in that scenario. And a lot of people don't even know how crack cocaine got into the streets of America. You know, but
right,
but it's been proven. You know, the guy at the San Jose Mercury wrote about it and. Some other
yeah, that's true.
I've written about it, you know, and still exists today.
You know, that's true. I forgot about that San Jose Mercury. As a matter of fact, you can Google that. I think that story's still available.
Yeah,
and
it
you
is.
Can
it's
Google
not very,
San Jose.
What makes me so, you know, the reason why, you know, you've got to stay on focus because the people who do all these atrocious things to our community refuse to take responsibility for anything.
Right, exactly.
Right, you know, we're say equal but separate, but not
right.
Equal. Yeah, separate but not equal, but not. You know what I'm trying to say? We're not.
Yeah, separate. They wanted the initial thrust was to be separate, but equal. And you know, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with being separate as long as it's equal.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but what we had been saddled with for. Generations, really, centuries, is separate but unequal. And, you know, educational opportunities weren't made available, and, you know, social amenities were non-existent for us. And as a matter of fact, you know, historically we were threatened as a culture,
a
people of Africa raised in America. We were threatened if we tried to educate ourselves that it could be life-threatening. I mean, it would literally people have been killed for trying to improve their condition.
Right. For just picking up a book and reading, you know,
Right.
You know, and it's really sad, you know. And now they tell a lie about Martin Luther King, especially the right-wing pundits. They always want to throw up Martin Luther King's name when we know for a fact that J. Edgar Hoover and some of the other government officials had labeled him a communist. And a traitor to the United States before he was assassinated. And Dr. King talked about a level playing field. But rather than give us a level playing field, they come up with a better idea to try to make us inclusive. And
right.
So, okay, we've come up with the idea that, well, you can go to school with our white kids. You know, anything
right.
To stop blacks from educating their own and giving us the tax dollars that we so richly deserve. You know,
right.
He's done that because they don't want to pay us up reparation, which. Strikes me funny, and I don't understand. We even have blacks in our community today. You know, we got Ward Conley, Walter Williams, Jesse Lee Peterson, these people are dead set against reparations. Clarence Thomas, when all these people benefited from affirmative action and that sort of thing, and don't want to pay reparations when they paid the Japanese, they paid...
for internment camps.
Right, internment camps. They continue to pay the Jews to this day.
Right.
You know, they're on the welfare social thing, and no one says nothing about that. But if we say something, then lo and behold, boy, it all hits the fan.
yeah. You get labeled with all kind of labels, and another theme to my idea has to do with the fact that. You know, my belief is that when you talk about police departments and state troopers and the federal, all these guys, when they say they protect and serve, the Anglo components of the community, and they enforce the law on the people of African descent and other minority groups.
Right. Well, you know, the police department was never created for black folks.
Right.
That's why it was so full of nepotism and discrimination, and for years and years and years, you had no blacks on police forces around the country. That's in every city and hamlet around, and the police department was formed to protect rich white landowners, and that's pretty much today the same thing. You know, it's not as bad as it is, but it's just as bad. You know, we don't get a fair shake when it comes to law enforcement in this country. If you get into an argument at JCPenney's with a clerk, and she calls the police on you, 9 times out of 10, you're going to go to jail.
Right. you know, I tell you what, if this messes up, give me a call right back. I'm going to try to do something right now. Hold on just a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm trying to clear this board just in case somebody's trying to. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, great. And let me give this number out if anybody wants to give us a call in here, because we're going to get, as we transition, we're going to transition into how that you can take lemons and make lemonade. You know, how you can you be put in an adverse situation and you have to take what's available to you and implement it in a way that it'll be beneficial to you and your family. But I just wanted to establish, you know, and you do such a very good job of it. You got a couple years on me, but I'm right there behind you. And you know, we have an investment in this social climate. We have grandchildren.
Oh yeah, 5 of them.
See, you have grandchildren. I have grandchildren, and you know, it's time for us to make a stand. And it's a sad shame that, you know, I'll get to that. Let me give this number out right quick, Brother Legacy.
Go ahead.
Anybody out there, if you want to give us a call at 347-945-7040, feel free to do so. We'd be glad to entertain any comments or questions. And let me offer this disclaimer. Any comments or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or beliefs or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. And any information that you get from these conversations we're having, we suggest and recommend and compel, and we'd like to make it very, we'd like to make sure that you check with your own sources, your own professionals, you know, whether it be money management individuals or whether it be physicians or whatever. Check with your resources before you apply anything that we offer you. All we offer you are going to be suggestions and recommendations, and you have the responsibility yourself of ensuring that that's going to be compatible with the people that you involve in your life. You know. So, but anyway, I just wanted to get that little bit out of the way there, Brother Legacy. And
right.
If I can continue on with you. I believe, is it okay to give your general state? I don't want to give you exact location, but...
I'm in Ohio.
Right. And, you know, the economic situation, and what I'm getting to is the evolution that you went through to go from your growing up to going into the military to getting out and going to work in the workforce and then getting hired into the government, and then reaching the point where you could retire. And may I give a shout out to your lovely spouse and for her business. I think you told me
right.
or mentioned that she had a business as well. So we want to give a shout out to she and also the rest of your family. But you know, and you know, it's just a transition that I'll be, you know, we'll be going through. But Ohio right now is suffering some tremendous financial problems. Am I right? Unemployment, and you know,
right.
we've had jobs outsourced. And you know, if you want to go ahead and expand on that.
Right. Well, what's going on in Ohio right now is that I'm just south of Detroit, Michigan, and Ohio depends quite a bit on the automotive industry. And when Detroit catches cold, we get pneumonia
mm-hmm.
here in Ohio.
Right.
And things are, employment-wise, are very dire. And you've got to look for another way to look for employment. We have been taught to go to college, get out of college, and go to work for someone. And those days are over with. You know, you're going to have to think out of the box. You know,
right.
you got to get that yoke off your neck. There's other ways to make money. And especially black folks, we're doing hard economic times, and I've been living for over six decades and doing hard economic times. Blacks have always been the last to get hired and the first to get fired, but that really
right.
that really sets home real deep now that things are really bad. You know, nepotism sets in, it's friends of friends.
Right.
And 99.9% of the time, the people that receive those jobs are Caucasians, you know. Kind of remind me back during the Ronald Reagan era when back in the 80s when I knew that we couldn't find white guys to pick up the garbage. And when Ronald
right.
Reagan came in and destroyed the economy, white men were running you over to get those jobs. Those jobs were
right.
those jobs were beneath them. And same way with construction, you know, we know that blacks built this country, and before they got the advent of tunneling machines and backhoes and forklifts,
mm-hmm.
all the physical, I call it mule labor, was relegated
right.
To black folks. But as soon as they made the job easier, now I know that, you know, that where you live at, you can ride down any interstate in America, any construction site, and
right.
you are hard-pressed to find a minority on those jobs anymore. Even though they set up apprentice programs, but also they were ran by white men who would bring their nephews in, their buddy's nephew or son or daughter, whatever. And so
right.
now you see in the construction field, you find nothing but Caucasians on these jobs with a spattering of black folk.
Right.
You know,
and they also, when you're talking about that kind of employment, there are those guys that you know, you have the initial contractor, and then you have all the subcontractors. And again, if you don't have that connection, that either a social connection or some kind of connection, you know, and like you say, if it's nepotism, where, you know, it's just relatives hiring relatives, well, you'll never get an inside shot where you could even offer, for instance, delivery. Or when you are building highways and so forth, there's all kinds of equipment, and you get subcontracted. Some contractors do the paint work to paint the stripes and do whatever other things that subcontractors do. And if you don't have an opportunity to participate in that is, from the best of my understanding, that's all what I would say. Government,
right? Well, what has happened? You know, the majority has went to court and sued over affirmative
mm-hmm.
action and programs like that, and that was my biggest concern with the TARP money that it would go out to for road projects and other projects around America, but no one never addressed will it be distributed equally, because when you give it back to the powers that be, we're going to be in the same situation we were. And remain in the same situation because they're not going to do right by the money, you know.
Right.
And what happens, you have these big construction companies like Turner Construction out of Texas, out of Dallas, one of the largest construction companies in America, in the world, and other large construction companies. And they'll wind up with a loaf of bread, put it on the table, and snatch the loaf off the table and leave you with the crumbs.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I'm listening to you. I'm with you all the way. And one of the things that I think about is also is that, see, we don't have the organizational the support systems that we used to have, even with the SCLC or something like that. You know, where you had an ability to disseminate information to large groups of people from a central location. You know, all of that's been destroyed. You know, our media has been destroyed, like Ebony Magazine, Dead Magazine, and these different types. I'm sorry?
You mind if I say something to that?
No.
I don't think it's been destroyed. I think that they've been bought out. I think that they've allowed corporate money to come into the fold.
Right.
And we have forgotten about our family. You know, that like the Clinton said about it takes a village to raise a family, and at one time we were a family. And we would share information like that. We had our own businesses, our own department stores, because, you know, I'm old enough to remember where you couldn't go into JCPenney's or Woolworth.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so they came in with satchels of money and bought out our businesses, and we started to try to assimilate with a culture that doesn't like us and never have liked us. I mean, let's face it, tell it like it is. Of course, I don't think you like anyone, but that's my opinion.
Exactly. You know, everybody's entitled to it. But, you know, then again, when you say that they bought things out, they had the ability to finance. I mean, they had the bankers, that kind of infrastructure. They had the bankers, the savings and loans. They had the credit unions. They had Small Business Administration, the Chambers of Commerce. I mean, things that weren't available to us. And, you know, people will hear you speaking, and the first thing that a lot of guys that I've seen in different chat sites do and different places that I've worked, because I've been on the same job about 32 years, and I'm, like I say, I'm 58 years old, so I've been around a while. And what you'll hear these guys do is suggest you're whining, you're crying, and you know, because what they want to do is to deny the idea that you have a legitimate position as to why that you were inhibited or impeded from progressing. You know, and one of the things that we weren't able to do is there is Black Magic Woman. How you doing, lady? Glad to see you. One of the things that we weren't able to do was we weren't able to own land that we could pass down generation after generation. We didn't have insurance policies, which I think you know quite a bit about insurance, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm a licensed agent here in Ohio and Michigan.
See, and so those are some of the, and when I say that, people think, and you know, some of the brothers and sisters may say, oh, you need to quit. I'm trying to set out a perspective from which that I view life to suggest that those things actually occurred, and it primarily disallows you to have really any self-esteem. And if you don't have self-esteem, steam, you know, is power. You power things with steam engines and so forth. If you don't have any self-esteem, then pretty much kind of you can get deflated and you can feel totally uncomfortable and you feel defeated. And so you accept whatever the social norm is out here and what has to happen. And that becomes a definition for you. And then when you have the national corporate media that continues to pound on you, then you just feel totally almost unable and incapable of doing anything. And that's one of the reasons that you know, I told you that I wanted to have this little program, because this is not a national corporate media program. This is for people like us, for us, people of African culture or anyone else who really has an opinion. But, you know, not an opinion to defend what's happened to us. You know, number one, we want to be able to have our feelings validated and then to repair ourselves and then to conceive the possibility of success and to develop and initiate plans that would take us along the way to becoming more successful. And but anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to interject, you know, some of those things there, Brother Legacy.
Right. I want to maybe switch gears a little bit. You know, we know what the deal is, and that's why we need to have a different mindset when it comes to us, to our financial well-being. We're sitting on top of a gold mine.
Right.
We're sitting on top of the internet, you know, and I implore black people to look at the internet and consider starting an online business, because the money is there. The internet has made more millionaires and continue to make millionaires year after year, and no one's talking about it. Even mainstream white folks are missing the boat on this, you know.
Right.
And because I think the jobs are left. I don't think that America will ever be the same again. And I think that if we're looking for a job, and I call it just over broke, then that's exactly what we'll be. There,
right.
You know, there's so much to learn. You know, if you don't know it, there's things on the internet that you can learn, but also too, you know, go to a community college and learn about writing programs and learn the language of the internet. And learn what niche marketing is, you know.
Right.
Google, you can put Google in and then break it down from Google to golf swing or golf shoes. And you've got people out there looking for information. People are hungry for information. And you'll be surprised of the money that you can make. I think I was telling you the other day about this guy out of Texas. He's a black gentleman. And he's a multi-millionaire. And he learned this. And he was a high school dropout.
Right.
And mm-hmm. this guy became a multimillionaire, and he lives mm-hmm. in a 15,000 square foot home on 4 acres of land down there somewhere just north of Dallas, I think it is. And he goes around the country, around the world, matter of fact, and he's rubbed elbow with some of the biggest people.
Now, wait. Let me interrupt you right here for a second.
Yeah.
Would you say that again? Did you say he was a high school dropout?
Right, he was a high school dropout. Got shot.
Wow. Through.
He was a street thug.
Uh-huh.
And he always wanted to. He never wanted to work for nobody. He knew that if he kept doing what he was going to do, he was going to wind up going to penitentiary.
Right.
So he borrowed a computer and he started marketing online. The first couple of years he wasn't successful, and then one day it clicked, he got it right, and now today, him and his wife live, like I say, north of Dallas, and they live on a sprawling estate in Whitney, Texas, and this guy is filthy, filthy rich. And he goes around the country, and he's been on CNN, CBS, all these talk shows, and as a matter of fact, he's holding a seminar this weekend in Canton, Ohio, which is east of where I live at, and...
Right.
And he's disseminating information to people who want to learn the business, you know. And
right.
And after I retired, I didn't know anything about a computer, man. I had to learn how to turn it on. But now I'm self-taught.
Right.
PowerPoint presentations. I know computer language, HTML, you know, hypertext
right.
Language and that sort of thing. And that's what we got to do. We've got to find another way. Because, you know, the traditional ways they've made it to the point that it's not out there anymore. Even to go to college, you know, you leave college with $30,000, $40,000 in debt.
Right.
You know? And if you're only making $15 an hour with a bachelor's degree, you'll be paying that college loan off until you're an old man, if you ever pay it off.
Right. Or old lady, whichever.
Right, or old lady, you know. So it's,
yeah.
You know, so we've got to find different ways. You know, the money's out there; it's on the internet. I have approximately close to 10 sites, and I'm not where I should be, but the money's there.
You know, Brother Lexi, let me interrupt you just for a second. Let me say that I by no means, because you know, I have a couple daughters that have education. My mom was educated, and you know, my daughter's mom is educated and so forth. But you know, it somehow or another, in a way, to some degree, education will take your entrepreneurial spirit away because it's so regimented. I mean, it doesn't. You used a term a minute ago called thinking outside the box, and you know, sometimes just having an education doesn't provide you that impetus to think outside the box. You know, to realize that, because, and I think sometimes in a way, and I could be wrong, and you can correct me, or anyone else can correct me. And by the way, let me drop this number again. If there's anybody out there who would like to give us a call, please give us a call at 347-945-7040.
Yeah.
But, sorry, sir.
You're absolutely right, though. You know, I mean, if you think about it, all the richest people, the richest man in the United States and the third richest man in the world, the second richest man in the world, none of them went to college. I'm talking about Bill Gates. I'm talking about some others that...
He dropped out, didn't he?
Donald Trump never went to college. And these, you know, but they want to hone, you know, they want to beat into you. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against education.
Me either. I understand.
You
got to
play a bit with you when you know, because once you've learned something, they can't take it from you.
Right.
You know? And I understand that, but even with our education, it doesn't take us to where we need to be, and we need to have a more entrepreneurial type spirit. We need to not worry about brick and mortar stores. You know, even if you get out and you try to open up a McDonald's franchise, you've got to have over $1 million just to even get a franchise license for McDonald's and work 80, 90 hours a week just to be successful at it. You know, you'd be cash rich and don't even have the ability to enjoy all the things that you've accumulated or trying to accumulate. So, you know, that's what I mean by thinking outside the box and doing something totally different. And when you, if you are selling services and products over the internet through eBay or some of the other auction sites or selling your product online, it gives you the ability to work approximately 15 or 20 hours a week once you set up your campaign and know exactly what you got to do. Then you can work 15, 20 hours a week and make a ton of money, you know, a ton
right.
of money. You know? There's nothing for you to make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a month. I know a guy right now is doing $120,000 a month
right.
off the internet.
Right.
You know, and so mm-hmm. that's what you got to do. You know, you got to get in there. There are universities that are teaching us, and what I want to do is get with some people and go around the country and like the whole seminars, and teach our people exclusively about this internet because it's wide open. And my thing is this: is that if we don't take advantage of it now, then they'll close the door. You know how it is. Every time there's something out there available for us to explore, we start doing good at it. They want to close the doors and change the rules.
Right.
There's another site where there's an organization out of Atlanta, Georgia, called the Black Business Network.
Uh-huh. I'm going to write that down.
They're going around the country. They were, I think, in Philadelphia this weekend. And they're recruiting people, entrepreneurs, people who have products that they want to sell through a black network, and they're doing this, and they have been quite successful.
Right.
You know? And the best way to make money is to advertise and promote other people's products.
Right.
You know, Amazon.com and other places, JCPenney's.
Right.
Know? They will give you rights to advertise their products and pay you a commission, in a lot of cases, handsome commissions for advertising their products, and they pay you per sale.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know that, you know, that I have permission right now to sell Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, and other products that I can sell that I've been given authorization to do that, and they call that affiliate marketing. You know,
right.
And those are some of the things that we've got to do. Because right now, I don't think this thing about going to work for someone, I was reading somewhere, the average stay on a job is about 7 years. They don't want you to retire anymore. They sure, right, they sure as heck don't offer any benefits.
Right.
So, you know, if you're going to be out there and you're going to be on the internet and use it more than just for Facebook, and don't get me wrong, you can market
right.
on Facebook too also. And
right.
But you know, we got to use it more than just for sending pics and chatting in chat rooms when we're sitting there looking at a gold mine, you know.
Right.
Before our face, if we take it and we utilize it to our benefit.
Let me interject something right quick. Hold on just a second. Keep your thought process going. I don't want to derail you because I really appreciate what you're doing. Let me drop the number again. 347-945-7040. And it's the next phase with Ice and Friends. And Brother Legacy is definitely a friend of mine. I really appreciate knowing him. And there's a lady in the room that made a couple comments I'll drop on you, Brother Legacy, Black Magic Woman.
Oh, okay.
She said that you don't let the education run you. You manage the education, which is a good thought. And she says also that anything you cannot manage, you do not need. And that makes good sense. You know, but now here's what I wanted to ask you about. You've really whetted my appetite and you've got my curiosity up. And I really do you have a site where or where, you know, a person could get more information about what you're talking about? Because and I know, you know, you've done it for us in the different venues that I've been in with you, provided significant amounts of information without any problem whatsoever. But I'm wondering, have you set up anything where visit your site, 1-800 number, anything that where we could get additional information from you as to how we might begin this initially. And one of the reasons that I want to ask you this question and have you consider it is that, you know, unemployment is a thing that's out there right now that's really grabbed a lot of people. And along with that, is people losing their mortgages, people losing their vehicles. And you know, the one thing that I think a lot of people do have that they want to stay connected with the social environment, and you can do it through the internet, and it's an interactive opportunity. Now, you know, and maybe initially, even if you're working right now and you know, you may not be making the amount or the wages that you feel that you really deserve, or wages that are necessary for you to provide the things that you want to provide for your family and yourself, then there are ways that you can supplement your income, and one of the ways is through utilizing this tremendous opportunity of working through the internet. And I'd like to throw in this little commercial for Blog Talk Radio. And it's a really nice opportunity for people to be participants in. But anyway, Brother Legacy, if you have a site or
sure.
anything that you want to, you know, that you want to suggest for us, I'll copy it down and I'll put it somewhere. I've been working on getting me an email, and my email address is going to be blakicz @gmail.com or whatever it is, gmail.com. I think that's right. But anyway, blakicz1@gmail.com. And along with that, if I'll try to have that available. And if you send me an email or you want some additional information from Brother Legacy, I'll try to provide means and methods that you can contact him. And if you want to make suggestions for this show, or you have people that you want to hear information from, I'll try to schedule someone, and we'll do it that way. blakicz1, that's all one word, @gmail.com. Now, Brother Legacy, I'm sorry, I'll let you go ahead and continue on. And guest number 3387, welcome to the chat room. Brother Legacy, it's your mic. Go ahead, sir.
Right. There's a couple of sites. The guy I was talking about, his name is Stephen A. Pierce.
Stephen A. Pierce. P-I-E-R-C-E?
Right. He's out of Whitney, Texas. He has a university called Prosper University. It's prosperuniversity.com as a starting point. Internet marketing, which is out of Vancouver, British Columbia, just north of Seattle. That's another source of what's your name. Now, let me tell people this.
Okay.
Before fact that anything worth having, you got to work. You cannot just put up a website and not work. Owning your own business, whether it's a brick and mortar store on the internet, you've got to put time into it. You've got to be dedicated, and you've got to be teachable and willing to learn what it's going to take to make the business a success. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme overnight. It's going to take some work. It's going to take talking to a lot of people, reading articles, and doing research, and also going to sometimes seminars and this sort of thing, because you know, the more you learn, the better you'll do. So I just want people
right.
to know that, you know, because this is not a magic pill where you just throw up a website and you think that people will come. You know, you've
right.
got to learn. There's certain things that you've got to learn about. You know, if you got a good domain, go to GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy.com is good
mm-hmm.
for a domain. It's good for a .com or a .us or a .org or something like that. You can pay, I paid $12 for domains, and they last for 2 years at a time. And if you don't have the money, you can pay $5.99, I think it is, or $6.99 for 1 year. But there's,
right.
there's, you know, if you're working, you're not making a lot of money, if you decided you want to get into this, and you know, then don't go to a bar, don't buy those $100 Jordans, because you're going to need some money to put into your business in order for it to be successful, and you're going to have some time and patience, but it works. I'm living proof of it. You know,
right.
I make several thousands of dollars off of my sites, and
right.
Get up in the morning and check my ClickBank account, you know, or my PayPal account. You got to set those up also. Go to ClickBank.com or PayPal.com and set up your account so
right.
you can get paid. And through those places I just mentioned, like ClickBank is a great site for marketing affiliate programs. And if you don't know how to set up a website, don't worry about it. There's companies out there that can set up websites for you and host your site, and they'll charge you a monthly fee. But in the meantime, like I say, you know, if you're working and you've got a few extra dollars, you're going to need some money to get started. But, you know, if you do this and you stick with it, you know, the rewards are greater, you know, are real good. You know, I mean, they're fantastic. You know, I know people who are doing it from all across the country that are doing it, you know, and they're doing it and groups and that sort of thing. The Black Business Network, I keep going back to that because that black family, 34,000 strong, they are raising some cane and they're moving millions of dollars in products a month.
Right.
You know,
Brother Legacy, let me do this right quick, all right? The Beneath the Crust, that's our friend that's a author. Aspiring author, and she, as a matter of fact, she's in print. She just came into the chat room, and
okay.
What I'm going to do is, I don't mean to be rude, but I want to give her the number to call if she would,
and
that way, you know, we'll have her on. And may I ask you a question? Because I had initially scheduled, you know, you wanted to do it for 45 minutes, and I knew that it would take us longer than 45 minutes to do.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Maybe I could. Are you on? If you're on every Thursday, I can come back.
Would you come back? And I'll get with you, and we'll reschedule you. And because I want to get some more information from you. But can you see this 45 minutes has gone by real fast?
Well, yes, it has, and I want to give the young lady opportunity to come in and talk to you, and I really appreciate the opportunity you give me to talk to you.
Oh, no, this is my pleasure. I guarantee you, because, you know, like, this is the same way your room was, the same concept that you have, which is to help. You know, I say, you know, and I want to qualify this to suggest, to say that we believe in helping our people, but we believe in helping our people. And we're not anti anybody else. We're just pro black people, and anything that can help us, because we understand experientially the struggle that we've all gone through as Africans in America, and
right.
Descendants of Africans in America.
I'm going to do this here, and I'm going to, you're the host, and I'm going to say this before I sign off.
No, you're fine.
I can listen to you over the internet. Is that just as Jewish people holler about the Judaism and continue to holler about the Holocaust?
Right.
Continue to holler about the situation of blacks in America.
Right.
I think it's hypocritical of Jews and other races of people. Well, Jews are not a race, it's a religion, but other people who always talk about what happened to them, and I'm going to continue to talk about what has happened to black folks in America and what happened to black folks coming to America. The mainstream news media don't want to tell you that 750 million black folk died during the Middle Passage, chained together in the bowels of slave ships, and when they got sick and died in a transatlantic exodus from their homeland, they were thrown overboard to be eaten by whatever was in the sea at that time.
Right, exactly.
And I'm going to continue to stand up and shout out. And if that offends people, then that's on them, because that's the way I roll. You know?
Right.
And so that's how I am. And I've got this policy. I learned it. If you don't stand for something, you'll lay down for anything. And I stand for things.
Brother, I'm going to tell you what. Because I'm going over into her time right now. But Brother Legacy, you coming back? Can I depend on you?
I'll talk to you on another day.
You got a feel for what I do. And, you know, was it painful?
No, it wasn't painful at all. I do this locally on a Sunday talk show.
All right.
From time to time.
Right.
We have an African-American gentleman that owns a radio station here, and he has
right.
a black community program that comes on Sundays right after church, and we talk about these sort of issues, so it wasn't painful at all. It's just that I have so much to say, and I'm not going to get in.
I wanted you for an hour and a half, remember? But I tell you what, we'll do it. We'll reschedule it. And I'll get back with you, and we'll get more of however you want to do it, put it together, and we'll try it again.
Okay.
I had a call and my other call dropped off.
Right.
A call from 573 area code 65. But anyway, give me a call back and we'll get with you. And I got the Beneath the Crust on right now. And if you wanna stay on, I'll go ahead but I tell you what, I think
I've had my time.
Right.
I'll go over the internet, and thanks for the time. And
thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
And I really enjoyed myself, and we got to do it again. Take care.
Absolutely. And best of you and the family. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Brother Lexi. We'll be talking with you.
Bye.
All right. Doodles. Hello, is this Beneath the Crust?
Yes, it is.
Lady, give me that name correctly so I'll be able to say it right.
I'm Lady Lily. Actually, I wanted to comment on Legacy. What I heard, Legacy, he's gone on.
Yeah,
so,
I told you. Y'all won't listen to me. I told you. Hey, Sacred Poetic Radio, Poetics Radio, thanks for joining us. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Beneath the Crust.
I typed in the chat room that I wanted to comment on what he was saying. I missed it.
I didn't see it. But let me do your thing right quick, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Joining us right now, this evening, is a refreshing young lady, an aspiring writer who is currently in print, and she also has a site where you can purchase her material. And I'm so very proud to introduce to you a gorgeous and very talented up-and-coming writer, Lady Lily. Was that okay?
Oh, that was fine, except I'm not up and coming. I'm already here.
See, women, I'm going to be corrected regardless of how I do it. But I should have consulted you before I did it, okay? So how is it going?
Oh, things are going great with me. Peace and blessings. How are they going with you?
Peace and blessings. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you consenting to join us here. And let me do your site for me right quick. See, I didn't get Brother Legacy's site. Yeah, I see where you said. Let me comment. I had it on the other screen. See, anyway, but would you drop your site, please? www. what?
beneath, like you're going beneath something, beneath the crust.
Mm-hmm. All one word.
Yeah, beneath the crust, like a pie crust, BENEATHTHE, crust, CRUST dot net, beneaththecrust.net.
Absolutely. Now, tell me a little bit about yourself. I didn't get a chance to read because you're not communicated for a while, and I had to do some other things, and I still got on late today, so don't be angry with me. But and I will do some more research. May I ask you a question, though?
Ask away.
Will you consent to come back?
No, yeah, I'll be back.
All right. But can you tell me a little bit about yourself? Where you were raised, maybe, and I mean, you know, generally speaking, you don't have to give me exactly, but and you know how you came to do what you do. What was some of your inspiration, and you know, did you go to segregated, integrated, or what? You know. What was your background? What was your community like? You know, that kind of thing. I'm interested. Just want to know.
What's my background? If you're interested, I'm not surprised. Most men are interested in knowing more about me.
Not
surprised.
Like that.
Well, I grew up in a pretty much segregated neighborhood. I grew up in the South.
Right.
In the country, so you know, we were pretty much segregated.
Right.
And the only time I ever saw white people were when the insurance salesman came around, and we all thought white people had a certain smell because the insurance salesman would always leave us ink pens, and the ink pen would always smell, I guess, like his shirt. But all the ink pens that we got from they smell the same. So we always thought that, you know, well, this must be how white people smell.
Right, right, right.
And I grew up in a two-parent home, and the reason I mention that because I just took it for granted that everybody had two parents in the home. But then
right.
I spread my wings, so to speak, and started talking to people. I find out that a lot of people didn't, everything has its advantages and disadvantages. You know, in my life, I've talked with kids who came from two-parent home, and they're about the most screwed-up people in the world.
Right.
And I've some who came from a single-parent home, and they're very grounded, and then vice versa. And the reason I throw that in, because so many times, you know, you hear on the news, well, these kids are like this because they came from single-parent homes, and whatever. We need to stop giving our kids reasons why they can't succeed.
Right.
And I went to a segregated school for a while until we was kind of forced to integrate, you know, because contrary to popular belief, a lot of us wasn't dying to be integrated into white schools. As a matter of fact, from what I was reading, and I think it was Reverend Al Sharpton I heard say, that even when Dr. King first started his movement, it was not about integrating. It was about fairness. You know, we want to, if you're going to have new books for this school, we want new books for our school. So
right.
It ended up in integration somewhere or the other. So after I integrated, you know, it was like, I want, okay, where did the black teachers go? Because we integrated, we had these great teachers. They were concerned about you. They were not just teachers. They were everything to you. They were you would go there and some little girl maybe come and have a chance to do a hair. The teacher would actually comb the little girl's hair. They would talk to you about hygiene, and the male teacher would take the little boys aside and teach them what it meant to be a man.
Right.
And once we integrated, we lost a lot of that.
Surrogate parents in a way.
Yes, they were. They were. Because you were an extension of them.
Exactly.
They never told me that, but when they looked at, they saw an extension there, because if I'm a little black girl sitting out there and a black woman teacher standing up there talking to me, she can look and she can see an extension of herself, you know, because at one time it was the little black girl sitting in the classroom.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
Don't let me just derail you. Keep that thought, because, you know, you want to write it down, because I know how you are with your thoughts and stuff. I don't want to break your track, your concentration, but I know this may take you in a different direction. But you were saying that the little girl, the teacher. Now this is really interesting the way that you inverted this. Because generally you expect the student to look at the teacher and relate to the teacher. But this is interesting that you inverted it to where that the teacher is looking at the student, and the teacher then is seeing themselves when they were there and caring enough that they want that student to evolve into whatever that teacher, you know, the best that they could possibly be. And mm-hmm. Do you think that that's why that there were some problems in integrated schools whenever you had Anglo teachers? They couldn't see themselves sitting there in that chair in the embodiment of a little child of African descent? You think that
might be better? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Not only could they not see themselves, they saw somebody who was beneath them, because they had been taught, whether it was taught in their home or whether they got it off the news, but
Right. Society
teaches that if white is superior, and later on in the show, if we have time, I'll bring up an article and read part of that article to show you how that came up from anthropologist society. But so they're taught that they're superior and that I am inferior. So when they look, there's no way they can ever see themselves at me, because for them to even recognize me as being a human little girl sitting there, that they in their mind, they would have to come off their high horse to realize, wait a minute, that's a female sitting there just like I'm a female standing here. So no, they could not relate with me. They couldn't relate. So what do they care if my hair wasn't combed? What do they care if maybe I didn't have proper hygiene? This is, that's the little colored girl. That's what we expect from her. So, no, they couldn't relate. And this is why, in my opinion, so much went downhill after integration. My opinion is, after integration, I mean, one of the worst things that could have ever happened to us as African American was to be integrated. And the reason I say that is because, for that reason I gave about the school. And let me say this too, get back to my point I was making about when we integrate, I wonder where did the black teachers go, because we had all black teachers in our school. Mm-hmm. But when we integrated, we stayed because the high school for the African Americans was a pretty decent high school. So they sent us over, even though we weren't high school students, that's where we started going. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden the black principal of that school, who had been principal there for many years, he all of a sudden became the assistant principal, and a white man was brought in over him in his own school as the principal. Mm. And all of a sudden we had black coaches.
Mm.
We didn't have any more black coaches. You know, we had black teachers. All of a sudden we stopped seeing blacks in leadership roles.
Right.
So that was a negative as far as integration goes. And I'm sorry if y'all hear my cat outside. I have the door closed, but she won't bark. So if you hear, that's not a child, so don't call Child Protective. Because, you know, sometimes when those cats get them, they sound like babies. So I don't want you sending the police over here talking about I'm neglecting my child.
Like I know where you live.
Go find that. You're resourceful, like.
Yeah, right. That's true, isn't it?
But
let me interrupt you just one more second. Don't lose your train of thought, okay?
All right, go ahead.
Let me give this number. There's someone out in the audience, Black Magic Woman, and
mm-hmm.
she suggested that y'all had conversed previously.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, okay. But anyway, she had assisted me as a, you know, on one of my shows, and I'd like to give a shout out to Platinum One Love for You. She had assisted me, and definitely give a shout out to Ladies Down South. She had assisted me also in one of the shows previously. But now let me give this number out, and what I do when I get done with this is I just turn it over to you, and whichever direction you want to go in is fine with me. Is that okay with you?
Well, you want to hang around to kind of guide me, but yeah, that's fine.
I'll be right here. But the number to call, if you want to give us a call, is 347-945-7040. 347-945-7040. And I'm chatting with Lady Lily. And she told me that she's not an aspiring writer. She's already in print. And you can purchase her material, and she'll be giving you the site. And I'm just overly excited to and proud to be associated with the little lady. Just met her here a few weeks ago. She's gorgeous and talented, and she's already an established writer in print. So with that said, Lady Lily, I will give you the mic, and you direct the show as you choose.
Okay, well, like I say, come back, man. Don't leave me hanging. Just ask me a few questions. But let me give my site again, and I'll tell how I can.
Do.
With the name, okay, www.beneaththecrust.net. Beneath, BeneathTh, the crust, crust.net. And the way I came up with Beneath the Crust is one day I was sitting there thinking, you know, about doing a show. Because, you know, I did a local TV show and a local radio show there in Georgia. And I was sitting there one day, and the name just kind of came to me because people used to always say, well, you know what, girl, you cut deep. You honest to a fault. And one day this lady called me sandpaper. I said, why you call me sandpaper? I said, because I go against the grain. She said, no, because you're rough. Okay. Okay. So I said, okay,
see. Uh-huh.
So one day, like I said, I was trying to think about a name, and the name just came to me because Beneath the Crust, okay, I find in dealing with people a lot of time, not all people, but many of us, we don't want to deal with issues. We want to deal with what surrounds the issue and stuff. We don't ever want to just go down under and start dealing with these issues. So what do? We tiptoe around it and
right.
Make me think of a pie crust. I don't know if you've ever been around your mother or your wife or whoever who maybe cooked
right.
a pie. And when you take the pie to the oven, that pie sits there for a few minutes and you kind of touch it. You think, oh, it's cool. But if you mess around and break through that pie crust and your finger go underneath, it's hot under there. So that's the way I am. When you look at me, I look smooth and calm on the outside, but baby, inside is hot. And with the pie crust, the juices run hot over here. Beneath the Crust, because
right.
in my motto is, I talk about what you're afraid to even think about.
Right, exactly.
And you're afraid to even
think
about the stuff I talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We got a little lag, so don't, when I'm just commenting on what you're saying. I'm not trying to interrupt you. And so it's a little lag between, you know, whenever you make a statement and I make a comment. So don't think I'm trying to interrupt you. You know, whenever you give me a pause, then that's when I, you know. But otherwise, I'm just enjoying listening to you.
Okay. Well, if you're waiting for a pause, you might not get it. Because once I get started, I'm just like a runaway locomotive. Hard to stop me, baby. It can be done, but it takes great difficulty. But anyway. Get back to my site. So on my site, I have a series of books called In Search of Sanity. And three categories, they're all different books, but they have in big letters, In Search of Sanity. And I have In Search of Sanity on Religion, In Search of Sanity on Race, and In Search of Sanity on Relationships. Those are the three on my site. I have more, but I haven't put them up yet. And on religion, I address issues like lying. Is it ever okay to lie? Because all my life, I've been told that it was a sin to lie, you know. And they give you Revelation 21 and 8, and then you hear from the pulpit, God hate lies, all lies going to hell.
Right.
And when I was studying the Bible, I was studying in Genesis 27, and I came across a story about Esau and Jacob. And I started thinking, wait a minute now. One off is not the biggest blessing in the Bible came about because of a lie. So that's how we also start doing research, because I'm sure most of us about how when Isaac was going to die.
Say what now?
I mean, he would go Esau, his birthright. He told Esau, okay, you go. Whatever. you know, the fatted lamb or whatever it is, and dress it and
right.
bring it back so I could eat it. And bless you, well, why, when Esau left, Rebecca fixed it up so she wanted Jacob to get the birthright. So she
right.
put, she got some skin of the kid, of the goat, and put it on his hand because, you know, Esau was hairy and Jacob wasn't. So she got the skin of the goat and put it on Jacob's hand and upon the, you know, the back part of his neck. Oh, and then she hurry up and fix them some meat and stuff. So when Jacob
Hello? Are you still here? Beneath the crust, are you still here? Lady Lily? I think you dropped off. Let me see here. You dropped off. Can you give me a call back? And just give me a call back at 347-945-7040. That was getting really interesting for me. Let me put this number in the chat room. 347-945-7040. And if any of you out there that are listening would like to give us a call, please give us a call at that number, 347-945-7040. And that was Lady Lily, and prior to her we had Brother Legacy, who was talking about internet businesses, and he'll be back to continue that discussion with us. And we also, hopefully, we'll have some other guests in the future. Some of my friends in where I was raised were planning to do. They're planning to do. They have already initiated the a reunion, and the reunion has it. They'll give you if I get a chance to interview them. They'll give you more information about the reunion. But for all intents and purposes, it'll be. Talking about the old black school in Snyder, in the town that I was raised in, and it'll tell you a little bit about, you know, quite a bit about the. My mom used to teach at that school, and there'll be interesting information because it was back then in those days. It's a lot like what Beneath the Crust was talking about. It was segregated environment. And you hear a lot of people today talk about problems with busing issues. Well, back in the 50s and 60s, and probably in the 40s, I'm just not certain about the 40s. I do know about the 50s and 60s. People were bused anywhere from, several hundred miles away from their families in order to finish their education when they had education facilities in the town that they were staying in, except those facilities were segregated facilities. And, you know, the whole idea was that those facilities only provided for education up to certain grade levels, maybe 1 through 6 or 1 through 8. I'm not really sure. I can't remember exactly what the grade levels were that were allowed in those segregated school systems. But as the child got ready to go into high school, that child had to go catch a bus and go stay with someone in another town, like where we were out near Lubbock, Texas. They had to go all the way down anywhere around San Antonio to go to school, and some people that were around Eastland and Ranger and that part of Texas had to go all the way up to Wichita Falls. As a matter of fact, some of the people up around north of Abilene, around Hamlin and so forth, had to go all the way up to Wichita Falls. And I listen to people talk about busing children across town. Can you imagine having had to bus your child into a totally different town, 200-300 miles away from you? And this is what it took in order for some people to right. Can you give me a call back? Beneath the crust, you got that number there? Let me give you that number again. Let me see if it's still here on my. Oh, you're on now? Okay, I'm sorry. Here you go. Let me get you back on. There you go right there. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. I was just trying to fill in until you got back. Do you remember where you left off?
I didn't even know the call dropped because, you know, I'm on my cell phone, and it just dropped and everything. I was on a roll. I was talking, and I was saying this. I was telling them where to pick it up and where to lay it down, and I realized that I was just down. Nobody wouldn't hear nothing. I don't know.
Hey, you know, I use our street vernacular. You had me all in it, sister. I was all in it. And then I looked up and I was like, "Where'd she go?" So you had me all up in that coffee, Kool-Aid. But anyway, if you know wherever you want to pick up, just go right ahead. And it'll be fine, you know. I was trying to think of where you were because I got so excited. I was trying to get the number to you, and have you be aware that you weren't online at that time. So you got to come back now. I mean, well, if you want to, you're always welcome to.
No, you don't have to change. You said you got to come back. You can leave it like that. I like a man who takes charge.
Okay. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, just tell me what to do, and I'm doing it.
Yeah, right. Okay. I've heard that before. That doesn't work out so well. But initially, it reminds me of this story a guy told me that before he got married, right, every time, he was visiting with his girlfriend and everything, his fiance, whatever, and everything he wanted, man, she was like, right there, you know, he just looked like he was thirsty, and she'd have him a glass of iced tea, or he looked like he was a little bit hungry. If she didn't have, dinner or lunch or whatever prepared or whatever, if it was a night, she'd get him a snack, and it'd be right there. And so anyway, the guy was just like, wow, this is too cool for school, right? And so after he got married, then he said he was sitting there, and he was like, baby, I'm thirsty or I'm hungry. She said, "Well, you got to get it for yourself now, because we're married."
I said, "But y'all do us the same way now.
I have to accept all those responsibilities because I'm sure that's absolutely true. You know.
Yeah, I mean, open doors and bring us flowers, and even if we're allergic to all kind of ragweed." And shoot, and that reminds me, I used to date this guy named Rick. Oops, I shouldn't have said his name, but anyway. date this guy, and he was always, I used to call him Silver Tongue. He was, had all these things, and one night he was just sitting there talking to me, and he was just, quoting this spoke of Robinson song. "Yeah, baby, let me tell you what I build you a castle with the tower so high. Reach the moon. I bring you birdies. Melody from Birds is Flying. I compose you a tune." He talked about he'll bring me a flower from the floor of the sea, and how we would just play on the Milky Way. So he got up and went in the kitchen, and I said, "Rick, bring me some water. You got two legs. Get up and get it yourself." And this is like
just that quick, huh?
I said, "Rick, I said, you just told me you'll bring me a flower from the floor of the sea." He said, do you see a floor in the sea in his kitchen?" I said, "Okay." But, it is what it is. We love each other. We can't get away from each other.
Absolutely. And in spite of everything that we've gone through, it still turns out that way. But you were talking about your books. I just looked on your site a minute ago. And that is one. I like that site. I mean, that is one nice site. And thank you for sharing it with me.
Oh, no problem.
BeneathTheCrust, all one word, .net, right?
BeneathTheCrust.net, yeah.
And I didn't read that article, but I'll read it as soon as I get offline here, that article that you were telling me about. And who is the little baby on that picture there?
Oh, okay. Now, which page is it? Let me see.
It's more than one page. I'm looking at the front page. Heartwarmers.
Oh, that's my little baby.
You're kidding me.
Don't you see how cute she looks?
Yeah, she is real cute.
Yeah, well, that should tell you right then. And there.
Right. Oh, listen, okay.
But that, she was a baby, now she's actually about, let me see. See, I'm getting too old to remember anything. She's 12 now.
Oh, okay. You know the strange thing? People would listen to us have a conversation. They wouldn't realize that I've never seen a picture of you. I've never seen you at all. Just communicated with you in chat rooms and one time on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But she
is
a beautiful little child, really. Precious.
And folks say she looks just like her mama. So.
All right. Okay. Now I know what you look like.
But you know why I seem that way? That we know it because of our energy. You know, energy. It's kind of like, and I call it, and some people may get offended if I use this term, but I don't mean it in an offensive way. I call it like the tribe, that we have that, what I call that tribal mentality, that tribal, because, you know, you can go anywhere and just go into a room of African-American people, and it seems like,
right.
No, you don't even know each other, but all of a sudden, before you know it,
right.
You're sitting, you're laughing and talking together. And do you remember when Oprah did her, invited people over to her house one day? She had one,
I don't watch Oprah. I'm sorry. I shouldn't.
But no, I don't watch it either. But this is all over the TV and stuff where she had these people, her house, she had different women to get over to her house for a weekend and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about how the white guests were just so amazed because when they got there,
right.
You know, they start singing and different things, and the black folk were just picking up on the song like they had rehearsed it and everything. And she said the white guests were just so amazed to hear they coming together for the first time, but they were interacting like they had just grew up together. And I go back to what I'm saying, that tribal. I think that's it's something about that the tribal. I don't know what you would call it, but
well, it's an innate quality, but I think though that the natural progression, the natural reaction, naturally, without any social influence or familial, you know, where the mm-hmm. family influences you, that is for people to seek to assist and engage in a proper manner. Except for Cain and Abel. But generally speaking, I mean, you know, people I would assume would have that natural affinity for each other. They want to be, you know, in a reasonably close proximity. I mean, they wouldn't feel threatened. And over a period, I think, of social indoctrination and cultural indoctrination, that people began to feel a little bit ill at ease with each other for whatever reasons. You know, that allows the opportunity for marketing techniques to take hold. Because if we all got along, there wouldn't necessarily be a need for as many vehicles because we'd all somehow find a way to assist each other and getting places and doing things. And we might not find, you know, and plus then there wouldn't be any need for so many weapons and ammunition being sold. You know, there wouldn't be a need to go to the shooting ranges and camouflage gear, you know, because we'd all get along and we'd have a trust for each other. But if you can interject, and see, that's the difference, you know, to me, that's the devil's greatest tool, is doubt. That's what the devil did with Adam and Eve, is he offered doubt. You know, God told him, you know, here's this all and it's wonderful, it's beautiful. The devil told her, you know, you could be wise, you know, all you have to do is, you know, whatever the story goes, and that seed of doubt has done so much damage, and you and I, we could be getting along perfectly well, and someone could tell you, man, you got to watch that guy, or someone could tell me, man, that lady, that, you know, and it, once you, you know, you introduce it, then it's self-generating. I mean, it just continues to grow, you know, what else, what else, what else. And, you know, you know, so I think that we all have that natural instinct initially. And then when you divide us up into tribes, then there is an instinct that since we have a likeness for, you know, a likeness. I don't think initially that there was a people noticed that there was a difference. You know, I think that people have to introduce that to you, introduce you into that frame of mind, that thought process, that there is a difference. And so then
okay.
From that point, I'm sorry.
Sure, what you're talking about now, because you're saying that you don't think that people realize there was a difference, you mean a difference in male, female, different in black. Why exactly, what are you talking about? They didn't know there was a difference in...
Well, you know, I think that anatomically,
mm-hmm.
you know, we all recognize that there are differences. Because, you know, we at male and female, that's gender difference. And, of course,
well,
then you know, then they've introduced the transgender, what they call gay and lesbian community, bi community. I mean, and you begin to get into a lot of different types of gender definitions and terms now, whereas initially I think that it was just two genders and there was that anatomical difference. So, you know, then, you know, you had the expectations of after a while, you know, male this, women that, this is your job, this is my job. But I think that there are certain communities where that there is no determination that what this should be your job. And, you know, this should be your job, that should be my job. You know, mm-hmm. you know, we just do what it takes to make things work. Sorry. Anyway.
But see, what I was trying. My question was, you would say initially you don't think we noticed that there was a difference. I'm trying to understand, we didn't know that there was a different what? That's why I say we didn't notice that was a different gender, or we didn't know that was a different race. What was it that we didn't notice initially?
Absolutely, there is no other race. There's only one race, that's human.
Okay.
There's a difference. People have, to me, established or developed fetishes about color. It's like
mm-hmm.
if I get angry with you for wearing a red blouse or a pink blouse, you know, I can put so much emphasis. You know, you got that color, and that color just makes me angry, you know. And I can assign all types of reactions to it. And if I see my daddy do it, then I'm going to react the same way because I want to honor my father, you know. And if my father didn't have a fetish, if he didn't have a real tremendous aversion to something, then in all probability I wouldn't have an aversion to it. You know, if he embraced things, then I would probably, because I'm honoring him, and he's passing that on to me. You see, but by virtue of the fact that I look at someone that I respect and that I hold in high esteem, which is my ancestor, my father. Well, my father shows me that he has a strong aversion to a certain color or certain behavior pattern, and, you know, I'm going to emulate that guy, you know, regardless, because I want to, you know, that's part of my family structure. I want to honor my family, and you know, and so if you don't do it, then you can be ostracized, you can be pushed out. You're not one of us. You don't know how to hate. I mean, you don't know how to disregard enough. You need to be. Let me show you. Let me educate you. That's a term. You know, let me mm-hmm. educate you in how to be a more averse. And how to be more atrocious and how to be more demonic and you know, how to, you know, deploy more evil to other individuals for what I perceive to be a difference in us, you know. And so they give you then the measures that you should go to, you know, how much measure, what extent should I go to? Well, you need to do this to them, and I'd do that to them. I'd burn their house, and I'd lynch them, and I'd, you know what I mean? And so you learn that. And then you have to protect it because this is, it's cultural. You know, this is my people. My people are great. They wouldn't do anything wrong. If they lynched people, there must have been a reason for it. If they robbed, there must have been a, you know. I mean, that's just my opinion. That's my estimation based on my experience over the last 58 years, so, you know. But anyway,
okay, but then that kind of goes back to what I was saying about that, about why that white woman standing up in front of me teaching me couldn't ever acknowledge the fact that I was.
That is exactly you. That is exactly right. What you just said. Exactly.
Yeah.
You couldn't make it any more plain.
Yeah, And I agree with you, too.
If you want to, would you repeat that again? Would you repeat that? You know, the people always say, would you repeat that again? You know, repeat means to do it again. Would you repeat that, please?
That's all right. A little redundancy is okay from time to time. But what I was saying was, as far as like when we integrated, and I'm this little bitty girl sitting out there, a little bitty female sitting out there in front of the white woman standing in front of the class, she could never acknowledge me as a female, because then that would take away from everything that she's been taught. She's been taught that, excuse me. Yes, I'm still doing my show. What do you need? Pardon me.
No
mother's
problem.
Work is never done.
No
you
problem.
You can come in if you. Are you going to be quiet if you come in? Are you going to come in if you be quiet? I mean, are you going to be quiet if you come in? Okay, say hi. I'll never say hello. You can come say hello, and then you have to get to be quiet again. Come on.
Hello. Thank you for joining us. Glad to meet you.
Say yes, sir. Okay, now call us and be quiet. Okay. They say man work from sun to sun, but a woman's work never done.
Never.
He came in. Now the cat is back outside the door. She wasn't.
See, you're trying to tell me you live in a normal, fairly normal environment.
I think so. I guess. I don't think nobody else would say it, though.
No, I'm like, what is normal, right? You know, that suggests that there is something that you have to compare things to. Normal is mm-hmm. whatever you do, right? You know.
That's right. Whatever floats your boat. That's my thing. So, great minds think alike.
Let me tell you this. We have 27 minutes probably. We got about 3 minutes, and let me...
We have 3 minutes left to talk.
Yeah, but you did say you're coming back, right?
Yeah, I'll be back.
Did you sign the contract that I sent you?
Yeah, I tell you, you know, time flies when you're having fun.
I told you, an hour and a half. You know, I don't know what we would have gotten into some other subjects. You know, like we do in your chat room. Well,
yeah.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying. But
yeah,
anyway,
I know.
Please give me your site again.
It's www.beneaththecrust.net, and you will be enlightened, you will be encouraged, and you will be intrigued.
I believe it. I do. You know, they just told me that we're getting ready to go off. And,
okay.
Yeah, so what I'll do, if I could, let me make sure, Lady Lily, is tell you that, am I right?
Lady Lily, that's it.
All right. And what I say, 6 seconds. Anyway, we can talk, and it'll be recorded, but we'll just be going off the air, and they won't be hearing us live. So what I do is, let me say thank you so much for being with us. And Next Phase with Ice and Friends. And Lady Lily, I'm going to let you finish it up. Whatever you have to say, thank you so much for being here.
Okay, thank you. Well, I just want to thank you for giving me this opportunity. I look forward to coming back. I have some other stuff I would like to discuss, and I'll talk more about my site and talk more about what I do. I do motivational speaking, and I would like to talk about why I think it's not just an option. It's a requirement that we all get involved. What's going on in the community, because, you know, that old saying, it takes a village. It truly takes a village. So peace and blessings to you.
Blessings to you, lady. Thank you so much. 10 seconds to go, and we'll be out there once again. This is Blog Talk Radio, the next phase with Ice and Friends, and I was just talking with Lady Lily, and her site is www.beneaththecrust.net, beneaththecrust, all one word, .net. Take a look. It's a beautiful site. She has some wonderful information. Thanks so much for joining us. And we'll see you next week, Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.